Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt Key, and today we're going to talk about Black Panther and Deadpool and Gambit and The Punisher and a little show called The Runaways. Sit right there and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie.
You should just sing
news.
The opening, because I get through it when I sing it.
Yeah. Then everything's fine.
This should be a musical episode.
I don't know
just
if we're
singing
ready for that.
Only.
Oh, we could
singing
do that.
Only.
We could definitely. Marvel Movie News. This is episode one.
I've got a theory.
The chat has
is it
a theory.
A demon, dancing demon? No, something
Ooh.
Isn't right.
Ooh, something's not right.
We have the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 152, coming to you live from the Leapfrog.
152? Did I miss?
Is it 152?
No, it's 151.
Is it
like the
it's
wrong?
151.
Oh, that's right. 151.
Yeah,
that's right.
Last
151.
Last week was our birthday.
Yeah.
151. That's right. 151.
Painful alcohol in the market.
We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 151 coming to you live from the Leapfrog. The Leapfrog? Runaways?
Yes,
their transport ship?
Yes.
I thought that was pretty clever. I was like, I'm going to come from the Chamber of the Pride. No, wait. I don't want to come from there. I want to come from the Leapfrog.
You could come from the Gaborim dimension. No.
Yeah. No, I don't want to come from the Gaborim dimension where the Elder Gods live.
Yeah.
No. Nerd references. We'll tell you guys at the end of the show if you didn't get those. On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. On Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Excited about Facebook, apparently.
Nice.
And guys, if you tweet a link out to our show with a message telling everybody about the live chat and that they should join it, then Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you. My name is Matt Key. My Twitter is at the Matt Key. We're joined by Coy Jandro, at CoyJandraU.
Correct.
And by the lovely and effervescent Markia McCarty, at MarkeiaMccarty.
Yes. You did it.
I My think job that was here like... is done. It took a year, but I got the cadence 150 down.
150 episodes. The first one back gets it right.
Ga-doom.
Nice. And yes, chat room, I did this to Thanos.
Yes.
Iron Man.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It's amazing.
Cole saying he might draw it. Cole Kennelly.
Yes.
Go
Yo.
For it.
Yeah.
We call him Iron Manos.
Wow.
Iron Manos.
You found it. I was going through it in my head.
Yes. I was like, Iron Manos is the way to go.
I was like, Thanos Man doesn't work.
No.
Iron Thanos works, but that's a little too on the nose. And then as I was thinking... Yeah, well done, sir.
Yeah, for our iTunes listeners, the Thanos head is on our big Iron Man.
Yeah, we've got a pop vinyl Thanos head.
This is what Avengers 4 is about.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
Wow. Yeah. Infinity Gauntlet indeed. We also have Ollie Dreamer
hey guys,
on the couch.
Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
Boop, 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 boop. We've also got Aunt Manthony in the booth. Say hi, Aunt Manthony.
Hello, everybody. Y'all know who I am.
Everyone knows. It's no secret. We've got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer, as usual. And we're going to get into it. You guys excited?
Yes.
You guys ready to do this?
Yes, ready to go.
We did that intro in 3 minutes. I think that's the fastest
yes.
we've ever introed ourselves. We are cranking today.
Well, we need time for you guys to celebrate the 150 episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. So you have to make up for it.
Because Coy Boy wasn't
that's
here.
True.
This is
that's
a jerk.
True. I know, just the worst.
Just the worst. Just
it feels
the
good.
Worst.
It feels different. Come back 150. I feel like we've done a thing. Like, it's like we're juniors now. We're upperclassmen.
Ooh.
First 150 was like, you know, figuring it out. Now, pros.
Pros. Yeah. You got this down.
SDS is in our second evolution when it comes to Pokemon.
Ooh.
Not the final evolution.
Not the final evolution.
We're Charmeleon.
We're still kind of cute, but we're still deadly.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvel Movie News.
You said we were only like 3 minutes in an intro. I'm like, let's destroy that.
Yeah. As promised to Markia, anytime there's Black Panther news, we start with Black Panther. Unless the Deadpool news is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I text Markia. I'm like, hey, the Deadpool news is pretty good. Are you?
I'm just going.
Yeah. Black Panther production designer says the film is inspired by Blade Runner.
Original Blade Runner.
Original Blade Runner. The OG Blade Runner. It would be hard to be inspired by the one that just came out unless she saw it like a couple years ago.
I know.
Which she did not.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there that doesn't realize that this is like a sequel to the original?
I don't know. I hope so.
I said that like somebody would answer me.
Hey, entire world listening. Answer me, please.
So now they know if they didn't.
So production designer Hannah Beechler was asked about asked on Twitter about the Blade Runner and the similarities, and she said yes, she is using that. I've got the quote right here. She said in the tweet, "The forward thinking and the part tech played in that world, and the density of the city, texture and tone, lots of movies have inspired it." Speaking with the frame, she said, "For me, it has always, it was always understanding that Wakanda had been there for 10,000 years, and then what does it look like now? It was supposed to be a place that was never colonized, too. So what does that look like?" So, you know, just like, yeah, like that's cool. Like I'm excited about that. I mean, what do you guys have to like taking like the production design from Blade Runner, what you know of Blade Runner,
yes,
and laying that sci-fi futurism over Wakanda in the present. Like, what do you guys think?
I like that there wasn't like they made a point of saying it wasn't colonized. I like the idea that this is a like first world nation hiding behind third world assumptions, like the trailer kind of says, like people assume it's a thing and it's really not. So not only is it like as technologically advanced as we are, it's further along. So yeah. I love the visuals of that, like tech juxtaposed with the jungle, and then to be inspired by, I would argue, one of the most influential sci-fis of all time. Only makes sense. Like, if you look at Blade Runner, the reason it feels familiar if you've never seen it is because everything that came after Blade Runner is inspired by
it. Yeah.
So if you're going to look at a movie, you don't look at, like, you know, Wing Commander, which you should. You look at Blade Runner, you know. Remember Freddie Prinze Jr.'s magnum opus. But you look at, like, the classics.
Yeah.
So
it's not
really...
a great movie. Really, it's like, worth a rewatch, though.
It's so much fun, those cat alien people.
It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous movie.
I've never seen it.
No, I've seen all the sci-fi. Seen all of it.
Do it.
No, but yeah, no, I love this. I love when things are inspired by Blade Runner and they do it right, because there are things that are inspired by Blade Runner and then they don't really do it all that awesomely, Total Recall remake.
And speaking of films that are going to do it right.
Yes.
Black Panther.
I mean,
we haven't seen it yet, but I can call it now. They're doing it right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've definitely done Thor Ragnarok right. They've definitely done this right. Mm-hmm. I mean, this movie is going to jump off for everything else. Like, not everything else. A lot of things are going to be inspired by this movie with the kinetic action, you know, like with the scenes that are supposed to be. We described it.
Kingsman meets Creed. Yeah.
Exactly. With those action scenes, you're going to have character development because you've got Coogler on the scene with it. I mean, and plus you're going to have this believable futuristic world, plus with the stylings of Afrofuturism, which is actually based out of a lot of the African tribes.
Yeah.
You can look at the Twitter of the costume designer with some of the designs and everything that she does. This is going to be epic.
It's going to be epic. Like, it's like I've said, like, from
Black
what
Panther's
I saw,
lit.
Like, what I saw at Comic-Con, I'm like 1% more excited for Black Panther than Infinity War, which is saying a lot. Like, I'm tremendously psyched for Infinity War, but I feel like Infinity War is like, it's like, I've seen explosions, this is a bigger explosion. You know what I'm saying? Like, Infinity War is like, oh my God, look at the size of that explosion! That's huge! But Black Panther is, I've never seen what that is. Like, I've never seen something like what I saw there, you know, so
I'm actually glad I wasn't on last week, because I was going to call something that wouldn't have been true. Chadwick Boseman was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Oh, was he really?
For promoting Marshall.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel is Disney's guy. So Disney's guy plus Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably one of the movies, but I was like, but what if?
Jimmy,
like, Marky, what if they dropped that trailer? They didn't. But
they didn't.
How crazy
would
that
they
been?
Didn't? Oh, that's so weird.
I mean,
I could have sworn they did.
I feel like we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
sure my Twitter would have exploded.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth's on today, so I was like, there's no way Black Panther and Thor back to back. They're not. They didn't.
You
sorry, Scarlet.
Oh, no.
But I would have called that last week and I've been wrong, so
yeah.
I'm apologizing retroactively.
But by the way, they're gonna do it in October. They have to do it in October.
They have to.
Otherwise, they completely missed the opportunity to run a trailer in front of Thor Ragnarok. By the way, Black Panther, by the time Thor Ragnarok comes out, November, December, January is three and a half, 4 months away.
It's right there.
you know, they've got to have a trailer out, mm-hmm. you know, so unless they wait until after Thor Ragnarok, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that.
I really have a good feeling.
And then you've got Infinity War in May, so it's like, ooh, we're just off to the races.
You know what? I saw something on Screen Rant the other day that said the next few, like, it has, like, the next 7 releases for Marvel, like, in the bottom of their article. They do that for all of their mm-hmm. big stories like that. And it was, like, by, I think, June or July of next year, we will have seen Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Wow.
Like, not even a year away, and we're going to have 4 massive Marvel movies.
Yeah, and The Punisher.
And The Punisher.
I'm just going to throw that in there.
And The Punisher.
The Punisher.
And probably Jessica Jones.
And Runaways.
And Runaways. And a new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do you guys remember Sleep? Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Like, Marvel's just like, cram it in your
face.
Do
you want entertainment? Are you not entertained?
Do you have eye and ear holes? Here's everything.
Yeah.
If we can figure out a way to make you taste it, we will. Yeah, so that's exciting.
Marvel
like,
bites.
Marvel bites. You guys are full.
Is so tanny.
I know. We're just on it today.
Full. You are on it. I love it. We are best friends. Do 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 do. Speaking of best friends, Deadpool 2. Coy. Cool. That's a good story.
My best friend, Deadpool 2.
So there's some new pictures from Just Jared. So brand new pictures from the set of Deadpool 2. Showing Cable in a weird suit. It's a suit I've never seen before. I don't remember it from the comics.
So as a diehard Deadpool fan, these pictures made me go, what?
What? Yep.
Because, like, I've seen my share of Cable suits. They're never even in that... And in my experience, someone's going to prove me wrong, and there's going to be, like, one panel. They're like, you're not a Cable fan.
Yeah.
But, like, I've never seen anything quite like this. He's usually, like, in a very... His suit is very iconic, and he stays in it roughly. I've never seen this, like, Terminator 7...
It's really not even a Terminator. It's,
It's that post-apocalyptic future time travel flavor. Yeah. Which makes sense for Cable, but, like, that style of suit is very different.
It kind of reminds me of the Frost Giants, just, like, with the color and, like, the
a little
abs.
A little bit.
But I don't know. Maybe it's his Sub-Zero outfit. I'm
curious about his green screen hand.
No, I was just about to point that out. That's what makes this interesting. Is this is very clearly a suit
mm-hmm.
because the green screen hand is for his metallic mm-hmm. arm, obviously. Mm-hmm. So like we know that we're going to be able to see his metallic hand through that suit, which means to me like this is very clearly like a suit. So it's like, is this a time travel suit? Is this a spaceship suit? Like this is like mm-hmm. Like an astronaut suit for like the future.
My very first thought was limited edition Cable. Like it's an action figure, like alternate
limited
suit,
edition
like,
time traveling Cable.
Like, all I see when I see this is like $7 more, eh? So I'm really curious, like which 2-minute scene this is going to be to sell a bunch of toys.
Yeah, that's a solid point. And for iTunes listeners, we're looking at pictures that you can find on Just Jared, but comicbook.com, Screen Rant, a lot of other comic book movie, I believe, also, like, all those websites ran it. So you can go look that up if you want. Deadpool 2, Cable's new costume. Type that into Google. You'll find
still
it.
Still making it.
But, yeah, also in those pictures, it shows him pushing a shopping cart full of, like,
hardcore
current,
artillery.
Like, present-day munitions.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the websites were, like, speculating, like, wait, does that mean that he doesn't travel through time with his space, like his future guns? Because we want to see future guns.
We need
guns.
The future guns. And we've seen him with future gun in the promo field. Like,
yeah, I thought so, right? So yeah.
Maybe something happens to future gun, so he has to do present day guns.
Present day guns. Like
maybe
someone just
bad guy takes
super
gun.
Present day guns. But it's definitely a time travel
future
suit.
Gun.
Like we're 98% sure it's a time traveling.
I like that you're like doing like Dick and Jane like time travel guy, take time gun. Like,
Run, spot, run.
Time travel gun, go missing. All right, so we got that. We're moving on to Gambit. Daniel Craig is reportedly in talks to play Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, he is.
As if... they were like, you know who I want to play Eddie Brock Venom? Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get like one of the biggest, best actors today to play this Spider-Man anti hero. Let's do that. They're like, you know who else is like really, really freaking good actress? Michelle Williams.
Let's go ahead and get her too. Let's get Riz Ahmed to be in it too.
Yeah, let's get Riz Ahmed. Maybe he'll be Carnage.
Just
be
maybe.
Insane.
Maybe. And then they were like, ooh, you know who else would be good? Daniel Craig.
Why not? It's for
why
families.
Not? Like, it's crazy. Like this cast is insane.
I'm a little bit hesitant. Just a little bit. Sure. Not specifically what Daniel Craig, but like all of these bigger A-list. Because sure. all it does is remind me of those movies where they just pack a lot of sure. A-lister names, but then sure. the script is crap.
Yeah.
And then you, like, watch the movie, like but Cat you're Woman. Watching for...
yeah.
Because you're watching for... you know, a particular celebrity out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of has me a little, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, so what's the script like now? Now yeah. these are, you know, these are top yeah. people. You're getting some great actors. What's the script like?
What's the script like? So yeah.
Because remember, acting, writing, special effects.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
yeah.
they'll have the special effects. You know, they've got the actors.
I go,
you
know, I go the other way. I go, like, if they're good actors are in it, then the script's got to be good. Like, because Daniel Craig, he doesn't work that often. Daniel Craig is very selective with his work.
I'm on the fence, and here's why. We don't know for certain that the script is even done. Mm-hmm. Like, the last I heard, they were going through rewrites on it. Here's my guess. Superheroes is the new thing to be in.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you want, like, if you want to make money in Hollywood, you have to be, like, I mean, not have to, but, like, the little indie films, those aren't giant paydays.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're not making a movie for less than $30 million unless it's, like, a $1 million pick. It's like, there's a weird thing in Hollywood going on right now. So it's, like, either you do, like, a smaller film and make a little bit of money, or you do, like, a giant franchise film and buy, like, 70 houses.
Right.
And wow. this is those big franchise films. I speak English well. These are big franchise films. And, like, for Daniel Craig, like, Mr. Sinister... That's Gambit. If he's in Gambit, he's probably also going to be in another spinoff. He's probably going to be in an X-Men film. Like, he's probably going to be a franchise villain.
He's right. saying that he's only,
you know,
he said he's doing definitely one more mm-hmm. Bond, but did he say anything past that one more?
That's my guess. Like, so for me, it's like, that doesn't mean the script has to be good. That just means the project has to be solid enough to guarantee a big payday. And this is that. Like,
yeah.
Channing Tatum as Gambit in the X-Men franchise, it's pretty good thing. So,
yeah. So sorry, Bryan Cranston.
Who would you guys rather have as Mr. Sinister?
Bryan Cranston.
That's a solid call.
Just because, you know, he wants it, and mm-hmm. he's really good.
So I want to shout out Splash Report, because they've broken stuff for us before, and they broke this like a week mm-hmm. and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah. Splash Report broke this forever ago. They sent it to us. So thank you guys very much. And he is saying he's hearing 6 to 7 years of movies that he's signing on for, so like 3 or 4 movies.
Oof.
So he heard his contract is similar to Josh Brolin. So I want to give Mike Marchant at Splash Report some credit, because if that's real, and he says that's what they're hearing, that'd be a reason for Daniel Craig to do it, be his next franchise.
Yeah.
Still on Gambit, Gore Verbinski.
Yeah!
Like, sure.
Yeah, I thought this one would be all about that.
Love Gore Verbinski.
I mean, sure, yeah, he did.
He did the Pirates of the Caribbean.
But he did Pirates of the Caribbean.
He did Rango, guys.
He won an award for Rango. It was best animated. Like,
yeah,
it was, I don't remember. 2010. Oh, great. That's awesome.
I didn't remember that.
Rango is so underrated. Like, Rango is one of the best non-Pixar animated movies of all time. It is incredible. It's beautiful.
Roger Deakins,
the DP of Blade Runner 2049. Roger Deakins, the best DP working, like, I think, biasly, shot Rango. Like, they filmed it first, and then he set up the framework and animatics, so it looks like a giant scope cinema movie. Rango's so good. And Gore Verbinski basically made 2 movies out of Rango. So if this guy's doing Gambit, he invested that much time in an animated film. Once again, I think people are sleeping on Gambit. The internet hates me because I'm so defensive of Gambit. Everybody thinks Gambit's going to be awful.
I don't think Gambit's going to be awful.
Everyone does.
I don't know. If they do it, like a heist movie and
that's
stuff,
a cool idea.
I mean,
if they go Oceans,
that would be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be. And, like, here's the thing. Like, Fox, like, I don't have as much trust in their X-Men movies,
mm-hmm.
but their one-offs. TV stuff is great, and their like, solo films, like Logan, mm-hmm. Deadpool.
Right.
They're killing that. Like, right. So, like, for Fox to be like, we're going to do a Gambit film, I'm like, yeah, you're going to do... That's awesome.
And
go
gonna
do that.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, like, I'm more worried about Venom than I am about Gambit.
To be honest, Tom Hardy makes me believe in the actual character, but not the script, mm-hmm. whereas Gambit, the team they're assembling, makes me believe in the script.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, sure. I'm worried for different reasons.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, that first Pirates movie was great.
So pretty.
It set up a franchise, so...
Exactly. You know. And so, like, I think Gore Verbinski's a solid choice for that.
Yeah. I think he's a director. His name doesn't get tossed around enough as far as what he's done for current cinema.
Totally. Totally agree. Let's move on to Venom, speaking of, real quick.
Wow.
We've got Jenny Slate cast. Jenny Slate.
She's great. She's always
remind
funny.
Remind me?
She's one of the duo. They work together a lot. Let me show you a photo.
Okay.
She's right there.
Oh, there she is. Jenny Slate.
Yes. The one
so,
on
yeah,
the screen.
Yeah, Jenny Slate. Yeah, I can't remember what else. I know I've seen her in so much stuff.
She's
in a lot.
She's in the Gifted with
Chris
Evans. Yeah.
That's right.
Not the Gifted.
Oh, because I was like, I just saw that. Why am I not placing her?
She was there the whole time.
Jenny Slate is so good. And she's great and Gifted because that movie like breaks your heart five ways from Sunday. So you got to keep up. Like that movie's.
That's why I couldn't. I can't do heavy dramas because I ugly cry at the drop of a hat. And it's like I can't breathe. I'm allergic to my own tears.
So she's a voice a lot. She was in like Zootopia. She was in Secret Life of Pets. She was Obvious Child. She was the lead, which was a really great indie movie. She's on Bob's Burgers. She's solid.
Yeah,
so
she's everywhere.
The cast is consistent. Right. Like that. Yeah. Every time they add another name, Venom sounds better and better.
Yeah. So they've got her, and she's rumored to be a scientist. So
okay.
And she speaks well. Like I love when they cast scientists that can be scientists. It's not Tara Reid in the 90s.
She has a good voice. She's a voice actor. Yeah. She's
like Alfre Woodard. Like she speaks like a scientist does.
That's important. You have to have that.
I was flashing back to what was it? What was she in Contact? With Alfre Woodard, she was a scientist. It was a really bad sci-fi where they had to tunnel to the center of the Earth to restart the core.
We have to restart the core. Spinning the wrong direction.
Aaron
Eckhart alone can save us with his space rocket down to the planet. Yeah, don't watch the core. Watch these movies instead.
I just now realized I was talking about Gambit, and then I confused Gambit with Venom in our discussion just now. Sorry about that. They're different.
They're
completely different. Yeah.
Thief, symbiote.
I think I got ahead of myself because I was like, yeah, we're talking about Gambit. Oh, yeah, Venom's coming up. And then I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you should be punished for
that. Yeah, I should be. All right.
Segway.
Punished?
What?
Dark and anti-hero.
Well done, guys. Well done.
That was our birthday air horn.
That was it.
Yeah. Now you guys get the success air horn. Yeah, you guys nailed it. Yeah, so Venom's, Jenny says, going to be a scientist, but there's no other information. Speaking of segues. Marvel and Netflix are delaying the launch of Punisher, which, in lieu of current events, is an exceptionally smart idea, though an unfortunate one and a sad one. We all want Punisher, but we also don't want gun violence in America. So,
it's
and we don't want to glorify that.
This.
And
because
they didn't have a release date.
They didn't have a release date, but
so they didn't have to say.
You're right.
I think it was more of a sensitivity.
That's what I'm saying. It's good that they're coming out and saying, look, we understand what this represents. Like, I'm saying a good on them for coming out and saying it. Because they could have just been like, no, it's when we're going to release it anyway. They didn't have to be like, we're doing it because we respect the people. Like, they're going out of their way to show that they're, you know, emotionally aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was a BoJack Horseman episode, too. Where they delayed a release of something because of that.
So Netflix and Marvel... neither one has confirmed that the show is being delayed. This came out from a Newsday saying that they were going to do that. So the studio has not said that.
Oh, okay. Well, I take back all the credit I just gave.
But that being said, I do think if that is the case, I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Cause,
I agree.
Yeah, that's a bad, sad, awful thing.
Yes.
Luke Cage. Danny Man?
So. Correct.
Silent. Not even a cricket was chirping.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Sad.
Like I'm seeing you guys
you
on top
yourself,
of the conversation.
You put yourself down to such a level. And Danny Rand. Like the one character to name to not bring you back up. Uh-huh. Like the one you're like, and Iron Fist is here.
And here's Iron Fist. Yep. I was thinking through like segues, and then I was like, wait, I don't want to do like a segue off of like
brutal gun violence. And
yeah, like that's
sadness.
Not a good idea. So
be like, speaking of heroes, you
speaking
know.
Of.
The guy that if you guys don't follow, if you go on Instagram and you go on any news source, all you're gonna get is a barrage of horrible news. There's a Instagram account called Tanks Good News, and it's literally only good news. It's just all the positive things happening in the world. And there's a guy that was at the Las Vegas that was a Marine, and he stole someone's truck that he saw and put 30 people in the bed of it, drove to the hospital and did two runs before the ambulances got there and saved 30 lives.
Wow.
By himself and just
whoa.
Like, and then the ambulance arrived because they had to get there. This guy saved 30 lives and the, they gave the guy his truck back and a local dealership is giving the guy a truck, like the Marine. So
that's
he saved
awesome.
Lives. And like, I wouldn't have known about it because all we get is bad news. We get inundated with all this awful. Yeah. So like, a Marine Like, dude, that guy. So,
Say the Twitter again.
Tanks Good News is the Tanks Instagram, and it's incredible.
Instagram.
And just that Marine, thank you. And I just think that those stories are what we can focus on coming out of this. And I think delaying the Punisher is the right move so we can find the positivity, in our lives.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. That's smart. That's amazing. Thank you for that, link.
Yeah.
So let's talk Luke Cage real quick. There's nothing really here, but, like, we've got an exclusive first look from Entertainment Weekly that shows Luke Cage and Danny Rand, Iron Fist, played by Finn Jones there, will team up at some point. At least he's in the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can assume that maybe that Heroes for Hire is coming. I'd take that as proof that Daughters of the Dragon is also coming.
Yes, yes. I think we can confirm that.
Yeah.
It's just confirmed.
Yeah, Markeia McCarty confirms.
Markeia confirms.
Markeia confirms.
That Daughters of the Dragon is coming.
Markeia confirms that Daughters of the Dragon is coming. But yeah, that's exciting, fun news. Ant-Man and the Wasp. So this is interesting because this is a bit of a stretch. This is a bit of a stretch. Mm. But there's a new casting call in Georgia for men and women of all ages who can portray Argentinian locals for a park scene taking place in 1987.
Ooh.
So
that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people
because Argentina is very diversified.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
But here's. Here's the thing. I think that the Wasp disappeared into that missile going like mm-hmm. subatomic in 1987. Like, it was around that time. So I wonder, like, so a lot of speculation is, so wait, are we going to see like a flashback to
when she,
like,
hurt the Wasp's time?
Hank,
yeah.
Pym and Ooh. Janet Van Dyne, like, oh my God, that missile. Are we going to see more of that story?
I think we need to. I think we need to explain.
I'm A-okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if that's the case, are we going to, you know, are we going to see, like, the Agents of Atlas in that time? Like, I really
They could
see
make
that.
So many different
like,
heroes
yeah.
then. Like, we could have the heroes you would never see normally. We could have, like, one or two heroes that we wouldn't get in present day, and you don't actually have to have a full movie about in the. Yeah, I'd love that. Plus the 80s.
Plus the 80s.
Like, Stranger Things. So. Thanks for bringing this to the modern zeitgeist, because there's so much 80s stuff now.
Yeah. There's not a lot to say about it, because there's no proof of that. For all we know, it's going to be, like. It's obviously a flashback. You know,
right, right.
But,
I mean, that's all we know.
But my guess is that, like, in the same way that the first film started with a flashback to, like, 1991 mm-hmm. or 92, something like that, where we saw Hank Pym, you know, punch that jerk. For, yeah, at least I didn't lose my wife. It's like, who says that, man? Like, punch. Yeah, I'd get him. But I think that we might start the film with a flashback to 1987. Which I think would be pretty rad.
And see some more Wall Street 1 Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That was
like,
amazing.
I was so impressed. Yeah. When you have that much mapping of someone's face that you can just like, like what they did in Guardians 2, where it was like, oh, I remember Tombstones. It looks just, it's incredible.
Amazing.
What they're doing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yes, I have to eventually see Ant-Man.
You should.
I tried and it just wasn't clicking for me.
You just
so then
short-circuited
I put it to the side. This is not new news.
Mackie confirms. Did not know Markeia had some Ant-Man.
I think that if you've told me that before, my brain said, "Well, that's not possible. She's on a Marvel show."
I will watch it. I will. But really quick, let me do a shout out to Travis McDaniel.
@Travis_MCD32.
He sent me an article from Heroic Hollywood where Black Panther will have his own Lego movie called Trouble in Wakanda.
What? What?
Yes.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah. Sorry I didn't see this before. I would have pulled this for today.
Oh my
that's
God.
Cool.
That's amazing.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
It's got a sweet little shot
looks so good.
Of Black Panther in Lego form. And
so
he looks
handsome.
Great. So yeah,
oh,
check out
that's
Heroic
awesome.
Hollywood for that.
I love the Lego stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they have a new video
fun.
Game coming out.
I have a lot of their videos.
Ooh, love
a lot
it.
Of them.
And my little nephew, he's I think 7. He turned 7 a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the Lego video games. And that makes me so happy because his almost 40-year-old uncle is like, "Yeah, we can play together.
I'm
this is
play
great.
It.
Let's
I'll
do
totally
it.
Babysit. This is
oh
totally
yeah,
I'll
go to Texas and babysit.
Being.
Let's do
I'm
it.
Being
yeah.
the most selfless.
You want to play video games?
Let's totally play video games.
You want to play some Lego?
I realized the other day that like when I like reproduce, I get to have an old childhood again. And like I just realized it like within the last year. I was like, wait, I get to do it all over. over, like there's my perk. Yeah. I can show Spider-Man to somebody. Like yeah. I can like stop that.
Oh, dude, it was the greatest thing. Like going to see like Force Awakens with my niece and nephew. It was like, I get to do that for real.
It's magic. It is. My best friend's having a kid, and like I can't wait to that poor kid's gonna have to love Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know. No choice there.
Yeah. No choice.
Is that the only reason to have kids?
Like, I mean, I didn't think
to introduce them to Marvel. Yeah.
What?
Speaking of Marvel, Avengers Infinity War.
Ooh.
So there's a new rumor that Silk is going to appear in Infinity War. It's a total rumor, Ollie. I know you're excited.
Oh, it'd be cool.
It would be pretty rad.
Cindy Moon!
So here's what happened. IMDb's official Twitter account posted a video saying, "This is Tiffany Espenson. She was in Spider-Man Homecoming. She's recently been updated to have her name in our credits as Cindy." She's also in Avengers Infinity War, so it's not definitive proof that she's Cindy Moon, aka Silk, who was bitten by the same radioactive spider that bit Peter Parker to turn him into Spider-Man. That's not proven,
but
there's some circumstantial evidence that could possibly point to that.
I mean, they are doing a shared universe out of one character. Mm-hmm. They are trying to build up a universe wherein they've introduced these characters before, a la Ned Leeds being introduced and Miles being mentioned on the phone. Did you see the deleted scene?
No.
There's a deleted scene right after the one we see in the movie with Aaron Davis. He calls, while he's webbed to the back, he calls his nephew and says Miles. Miles is officially canon.
Gotta watch those.
They say the name Miles.
I haven't seen the deleted scenes yet. I've got it at home. I just haven't sat down to watch the deleted scenes.
They didn't bother with doing, well, I'm actually glad they didn't. The whole thing of him being in the lab and him getting bitten and blah, 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 blah.
Because now we can see retroactively.
So, exactly. Yeah. So, like with this, they could easily place her in it because they didn't show us. That's a solid point.
Oh my God.
They easily could.
So, what if we see her in Infinity War and she's like, oh my God, Peter Parker is Spider-Man and he's about to get killed by this Thanos guy. I have the same powers but haven't been doing anything with them. Thwip, thwip, thwip. Here we are.
Because she broke out without. Well, yeah, I guess she would have had to break out without Spider-Man. Yeah. Without Spider-Man's help. Yeah, she could do that, and she would be cannon fodder.
you can take that in two completely different ways, because, like, Spider-Man cannon. She's fodder for the cannon.
Someone joined the Koi and Kia party.
Koi Kia. That's a good name for you guys, Koi Kia.
Koi Kia.
Koi Kia.
That's
your
ship name.
Oh. Yeah,
that's
your
ship name.
Koi Kia.
Koi Kia. We sound like a nice Japanese automobile.
All right, you can get out of here. You just lost me.
Man, we got air horn and a get out. I love this.
Wow, you guys are killing
this. This is a great show.
But yeah, that's exciting news. So Thor Ragnarok. This is a very good sign. I was reading about this a little bit on a couple different websites who are all, you know, making similar claims. So Captain America Civil War released their review embargo 3 weeks ahead of release, which is
great sign.
A great sign. And then we got a movie like Captain America Civil War, which was, oh my God, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they did the same thing for Winter Soldier and Avengers, and I can't remember the other film, but the other...
But it wasn't Iron Man 2.
It wasn't Iron Man 2.
We know that.
But they released the embargo on that 2 weeks before, and those were all great movies. So Thor Ragnarok has lifted their review embargo for 2 weeks ahead of release, which is a lot of trust on the studio's part to be like, our reviews are going to be awesome. Like, this movie's great. And the review,
let everyone know. Get big box office numbers first weekend.
Yeah. But despite the embargo, there have been a few reviewers who put their... And just a quick response online. Peter Scaretta of Slash Film said, "Thor Ragnarok is one of the funniest Marvel movies, Marvel Studio movies thus far. Definitely the best Thor film. Loved Mark Mothersbaugh's score." Let's see, Umberto Gonzalez from Heroic Hollywood. This is coming, Heroic Hollywood. says, "Absolutely rocks. I was totally blown away by the story, action, effects, performances, and one of Marvel's best soundtracks." German Lucier, I don't actually have what
he's... Slash Film, too.
Oh, see, Slash Film, great.
Love that site.
"Thor Ragnarok is just plain fun. It's hilarious from start to finish with quirky performances and exciting action. Tessa Thompson is the MVP." Do you know who Jim Voodoo Da? is?
I don't know.
No, but maybe, I love his name.
Maybe that's not really, because it's October, so everybody like changes. Because I'm like, I'm morbid Makati.
Oh my so God, amazing.
He might be.
Yeah, he might be. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
although,
you're
if
right.
that is really his name,
good
that's a solid name.
Veduta.
But he said there's the best Thor movie, but still think it's really good, not awesome. Hemsworth, Hulk, and Tessa are all great, though, and Goldblum. So a little bit of a lesser review, a little bit, but still the other three are just like, bah, bah, bah,
three
horns.
A's and a B. I'll take it.
Yeah, three A.
Goldblum.
Goldblum. all right. What do you guys say to watching the Runaways trailer?
I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we'll do it.
Speaking of, I had like I didn't have tremendously high expectations for the
for the
I was like, it's Hulu, but then like they had like Handmaid's Tale, like oh they brought this studio is doing Runaways, like let's see what this looks like, and then they like all the pictures and everything. I've been excited for it, but I haven't been like, oh my God, this movie, this show. And then I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, this show looks amazing.
Yeah, I think, like you were saying with Handmaid's Tale, I think they're going to go there, because there are some places and Runaways where it gets real dark and it's got a lot of it's like, you know, you throw what's that saying, you throw a pebble into a lake and there's a ripple effect, but it settles, but then the lake's never the same again.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Yeah, like the comic definitely goes places with the narrative, so we're going to watch this again. I want to warn everyone at home, we do have to speak over the trailer.
Legally.
So don't get upset with us that we're talking over this. We have to watch over it. If you want to go watch it without our commentary, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're going to talk over this and give our opinions as we talk.
I was like, oh, no.
So go ahead and play it, Anthony. Thank you for letting me do my preamble.
Looks just like the book.
Alex Wilder's hair is dead on.
They sculpted it from the comic.
Oh, it's a Marvel property.
Oh, hey, look, let's make sure to show where the money comes from. We love money.
So we have, like, Alex Wilder saying hi to the kids.
Exact cast.
The kids, it looks, and there's, like, we see the parents, like, the kids don't know anything about it, and they'll know eventually, whatever, but they're going to their inner sanctum.
Yeah. To do their evil doings.
Like, the paranoia that their parents are out to get you is captured so well. Like, when you're a teenager, you're like, man, my parents just won't let me do anything. They're like super villains. Oh, wait.
They are super villains.
I love that. Like, the metaphor is so on the nose, but it's so good. Because
when the dad
sits
down and starts scolding him, I was like, oh, this is the way they're going. Like, the tone. Because you can't, like, it's different in 2D versus 3D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they discover what their parents are doing.
The discovery moment.
This is amazing. Like, they kill this poor girl. Like, they're all terrified. They go running. It's so I don't know who that was, who they were showing there, and the funeral and all that. I don't know who that is, but we see old Lace, we see the Staff of One, we see Molly, and here we see Carolina Dean,
like,
and the powers look great, and most of all, the score captures the age really well. Like 2017 teenagers, that's the sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not a 2017 teenager, but when I think of them, that's what I think of. Like, they captured that vibe.
That's what I listen
to. But 2017 teenagers
could
let us know.
Yeah, 2017 teenagers, let us know if that's what you listen to.
Every single teenager in 2017 text is like, we're listening to Tin Pan Alley, man. I was like, what?
Steely Dan? All of you listen to Steely Dan?
Say, mister.
I don't know. Are they all from the 20s?
I don't know. That's because I think it'll be interesting.
Have we gone back and forward in time?
Yeah, no, like the 2017 kids are all listening to music from 100 years
ago. Because they're about to be in the 20s.
Exactly. We're going to listen to Tin Pan Alley. See? We're all gangsters,
I love if the 20s and 4 years are just like that. Like, if we come right
come
back.
Full circle.
Like, everybody's just like wearing hats and gumshoes.
Look at that poster. It looks so good.
Wait, that was during Prohibition, right? No.
No, we don't want Prohibition. Yeah. Let's not go back that far. What's the thing that you were like, oh my God, yes, in this trailer? Like, we just watched it. We've kind of said a few things, but like,
show the raptor. I like that.
Yeah, they did.
They did. They showed Olace.
His little snout.
Little snout. Yeah. They showed
that was
the snout.
A raptor?
I think he was over.
And it's not a raptor. It's a Deionychus.
Excuse me. You're right.
Let's kind of get it right. Let's get our dinosaur species right.
Let's go ahead and dive in and look at the Deionychus. Go ahead and Google that real quick.
They showed that very briefly. And they I love that they show Carolina Dean's powers. Like, that looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Knocked out of the park right there. I mean, looks great.
And I love that she's looking at it going, what's going on? She's
Be like, I took off a medical bracelet and now this?
I know. She's from an alien race called the Magisdinians. And they, I don't know if they're going to do this in the show, but they are weapons. They're arms dealers for the Skrulls. Like, that's their entire
raid.
So cool. Like,
For Skrulls. Got it.
Yeah, the Magisdanians, a race that supplies arms.
I wonder how in depth they're going to go with it. Because, like, I've read all the comics, but it's like you get to a certain point where, you know, because of the parents' actions in space, that comes to Earth.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to go that far with this first season.
I don't want to give any spoilers, so let's be careful how we talk about this. Yeah. But there's some heavy stuff that happens in the comic. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the show must go on.
So I'm really curious how they're going to handle all that.
And the new book is solid, too, worth noting. I was really impressed with issue one. It feels like you just picked up years after this one ended.
Oh,
it, like, the characters feel the same. It's really, oh, yeah! All right.
Yeah.
What? Oh, did you see it?
Yeah. Saw it.
Yeah. So now here's an interesting, so we're jumping ahead a little bit, but let's go ahead and run with it, because we can come back to Molly in a second while you're there, Anthony. Let's go back to this. So this MCU Exchange snapped these pictures at New York City Comic Con, which just happened this last weekend. It was like a sort of like activation for the Runaways, for Hulu and the Runaways.
Nice.
And in the locker is a book that is the Book of Gibberum. And then there's a poster over on the right that also it mentions the Gibberum. Gibberum is, am I saying it correctly? How do you say Gibberum?
I always, in my head, saw it as Gibberum.
Gibberum,
like gibbets, you know?
Yeah,
like
maybe.
Gibberum,
yeah.
But I don't know. This is something that Gibberum. I read in a comic, and I've
like
never...
Doctor Strange, where I watch, I'm like, that's how they say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
half the words of Doctor Strange, I'm like, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the Gibberum, are, not a race, but just like a collective of elder gods who were like...
They're like six-fingered giants.
Yeah, and they want to decimate humanity. And they are the ones who... Church of Gibberum. They collect...
Gibberum.
They are the ones who pull the pride together. And they need the pride to exercise a variety of different ceremonies to allow them to come back to Earth to decimate humanity. And the pride is like, well, yeah.
Like, we'll be on your side because you're coming no matter what, right?
And they so. Promise the pride, if they can pull that off, then all of them can inhabit, like, a paradise together.
Well, it's, the six Something tickets like to paradise, so their kids could go to paradise.
Yeah.
Then, you know, hey, if you only have six tickets, it's like, oh, no, I don't know what could happen. I'm not going to say spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. So there's six tickets to paradise. there's Old Lace.
I'm really impressed with how the show looks. I'm impressed with the production value.
Really good.
I'm impressed with the lighting, which is a thing I never thought I had to look out for in 2017, but another show taught us that. I've been impressed with the fact they didn't try to do things with power that they couldn't in their budget, which another show taught us that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really impressed with the fact that they're not showing us too much, but they're still giving us the tone of the show.
Yeah. By the way, this trailer's coming out, like maybe 5 weeks before release, because it comes out on November 21st. Like, it's like, Happy Thanksgiving, here's the Runaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's, like, really solid timing, and it looks really good. And,
I was impressed.
Casting is dead on. I'm really excited for it.
Well, with looks, I mean, we'll see when we actually, you know, watch them. Because I don't know these kids. Like, maybe they're kids.
You know? But, like, just in terms of the look of it. Yeah,
in terms of the look and the feel, you know, it feels like love went into this project that they're, you know, this is going to be a really great product that we have here.
Yeah, it looks...
Great addition.
It looks really good. If you haven't read the Runaways comic, highly suggest going back to the very beginning, Brian K. Vaughan's run. What is it, like 2005, 2006? Like, it's mid-2000s. So it's a relatively recent comic.
Yeah, it's on the newer side. And it's not prohibitively long. It's not like a series you gotta read for 10 years. Like, you can get through the series, and then the new one just started. They're in issue one.
Yeah.
And it has some nice crossovers. Mm-hmm. You get Cloak and Dagger in there. There's Wolverine. He shows up. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they came right after House of M. No, they had a House of M crossover. House of M, they had a Civil War crossover, stuff like that.
They even went into Skrull Invasion, the Battle World type of thing.
Yep. It's a really solid comic, and it's Brian K. Vaughan, so, like, you know you're going to love it, like, unless you just, I don't know, don't enjoy reading. Sorry that I. Sorry
you're,
if I just
you're
insulted.
Like throwing shade.
I just yeah, insulted everyone who's shade. Like I actually don't like Brian K. Vaughan. Like, how dare you?
Everyone that likes him, or you don't read.
Yeah.
End of options.
But no, but for real, like Brian K. Vaughan is like the most accessible like comic book storyteller. I think like of the day. Like everything, like it's solid storytelling from him. On top of just like it's easy to understand and like a simple narrative, but like still like complex issues. Like I don't know, I love Brian K. Vaughan. So, and I'm sorry if I insulted your dislike of Brian K. Vaughan. That was not necessary and unearned. I apologize. But yeah, I'm excited for it. So we've got the Giver bringing Old Lace to life. It's a puppet.
Yay!
Someone just said that in the live chat, and I was incredulous.
Right?
I really enjoyed that, because think about, like, back to, like, Jurassic Park. Uh-huh. It's not just about the CGI. They built, you know, the practical effects so that you would... There was a raptor there.
Yeah, there we go. Sequoia?
Boy, that's so cool.
Because of the ring.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's how, and that, you're right. That's like, you watch Jurassic Park today and it looks better than most CGI. And that was 15 plus. Like, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because it was both.
Yeah, it was both. It was both.
Augment, not create. Like, have it have weight and then just make it over it. That's what the best stuff looks like.
Put like some extra skin on it, a little bit more emotion. Use the CGI to enhance, but not
to start everything.
Take the place of,
Because this looks,
So Ariella Bearer, who plays Gertie Yorks, speaking to Screen Rant, said, the puppet they made is the most incredible thing. It takes six puppeteers. It has so much detail. There's literally one person pumping in air so you can see her inhale and exhale. You see her emotions. We don't not make use of that. She's around.
That's awesome.
Comic-Con 2018, I want to see Old Lace.
Right?
So many Old Laces.
There's going to be
everywhere.
So many Old Lace cosplay.
There's going to be time-traveling Old Lace. They're going to put, like, medieval medieval armor on an Old Lace.
Yes.
So for those of you who are saying Old Lace, Old Lace is the name of a genetically created Deinonychus from the future, created as a gift by Gertie Yorks' parents to give to her when she's 18. It's already telepathically linked to her so that she and the Deinonychus she names Old Lace can talk to each other. And in the very first or second issue, she discovers this gift that's been kept from her. And the two of them are inseparable, and they're like best friends.
Yeah, because something to keep
it's
in mind
such a great
with
Gertie concept.
And also with Alex, they don't actually have powers.
Yeah.
So.
Nor I Alex mean, Wilder.
Yeah, like, I said her and Alex, they don't
oh,
have.
Oh, I thought you said Chase Stein. Sorry.
They don't have
Chase
powers.
Chase Stein doesn't either, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's basically Carolina Dean is their powerhouse.
Yeah, Carolina Dean and Nico Minoru are.
Yeah.
Well, and Molly Hayes, like the mutant.
Oh,
with
super
duper.
That would be
strength.
The
yeah.
super powerhouse, but I mean, like. The person that's closest to what we think of when we think of, like, somebody with powers is Carolina Dean.
Yeah.
Is what I would think of first.
Sure.
And then, yes, Molly would be my second thought. And then Nico, because
she's a sorcerer, So.
And Nico opens the new book, and it's really cool.
Really?
The way they use
Sister
Nico.
Grimm?
Yeah, the Runaways just started, like, 2 weeks ago, a new run.
I'm going to have to read.
They're in issue one, and I was really impressed, because I was worried, because you guys made me
read
this.
Do you know who's writing it?
I don't think I can find out. Yeah. You guys made me read this, like, I think 6 months ago, and they were, like, fan casting. And I was like, oh, good, ruin to it. And then I finally read it, and I was like, I don't want to do it ever again. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
And then the new one came out, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So I was impressed.
And then last thing we want to mention here, big change coming to Nico Minoru from the comics. In the comics, when she summons the Staff of One lives inside of her, mystically and magically. And the only way that she can withdraw it is by drawing blood. So she has to kind of cut herself, something like that.
Or bite.
Or bite. They change that, which I think is probably a smart move.
Yeah.
Lyrica Okano, speaking to Screen Rant, Lyrica is the one who plays Nico Minoru, says, that's the one thing that's been tweaked. I think I'm allowed to say this. Nico does not cut herself, I think for good reason, for the show. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of young teenagers watching the show, and we don't want to promote anything like self-harm, because that's serious. But there is that element of drawing blood. I will say that. There is some blood involved with the Staff of One. But it's
I respect
not
that choice.
I think that's a solid change. I'm totally okay with that.
The writer of the new book is the coolest, one of the coolest names I've ever read for a comic writer, Rainbow Rowell. I'm not kidding. I just double checked.
Cool
Rainbow
that's
Rowell. Alliteration right. and the name Rainbow.
The name
you
Rainbow.
Sound like a comic character, Rainbow Rowell.
And she?
I'm assuming.
They?
Either way.
They are writing a character that has Rainbow. Like, it involves rainbows. Like Lucy in the Sky.
Yeah,
Carolina
they're
Dean.
Writing a great run, too. So.
That's awesome. Are we talking about the AfterBuzz TV show for The Gifted?
Did you guys cover Gifted last week?
We covered the pilot. I haven't seen the second episode yet.
I did not get to speak. Gifted, guys.
Maybe you should show up.
I guess you guys don't get to know what
Do you want to give your impressions of Inhumans and also The Gifted? Wait, do we have any live reads?
As far as I know, we don't.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Hey, Gifted, maybe give us a live read so I can be happy. The Gifted was so impressive. The Gifted, I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't distracted. I was invested in the characters from the word go. And I love that they opened with characters we knew and then introduced us to characters we didn't. Because that was my biggest fear, was they'd pander to a new audience by ignoring the comic fans. And that was my fear. But instead they were like, no, we know this, who this is for, but we also want to have characters to play with that we won't offend you or betray your characters. Like, it was the best of both worlds. I actually like this new family a lot, and I've gotten to see Polaris be awesome. I've gotten to see Blink. The way they opened that show was like what I wanted the old movies to be. And I love the old movies, this was, the budget looked great. The tone was great. The acting was all incredible. It didn't feel like Fox going, okay, we need to keep our rights.
Yeah.
Like, it felt really good.
Well, and you know what I think is great? Oh, look, the Gifted after show is emulating this
Yeah, the after show is it's a pretty cool poster.
Discovered that yet. But the Gifted after show is immediately after following the show as it airs, and that's on Monday nights, right?
After show, you said.
Right, that's Monday nights or Sunday nights? I can't remember.
I think the after show is on Sunday. I think the show airs on Monday.
Oh, does it? I don't know.
It's on Sundays.
It's on Sundays? Okay, cool. So the after show is, does the after show come directly after the show on Sunday nights? Or does it come on Monday nights?
The Gifted comes on at Monday, right?
I don't. That's what I'm asking.
I've only seen the first
episode. I cut the cord. I just watch when I have time.
I just know that the show is on Sunday.
I watch it on Hulu because I don't have live TV.
Same. I just watch when I have
time. Don't pay for cable.
So it premieres Monday nights, but they're doing it on Sunday nights.
Okay. Cool. All right.
After show.
Gives you a week for spoilers.
All right.
Okay.
Gift is great.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
Super
show.
Impressed.
Yeah, looking forward to watching the rest of the season.
Yeah, I really am. And you know what? The family who has nothing to do with the X-Men that they created for the show, they work.
Yeah,
cool.
I think it's like, for me, it's like they're giving a tour of the X-Men universe. Because like they just mentioned, spoilers, I read this as an article, the show that aired last night mentioned the Mutant Liberation Front.
Yep. And I think they mentioned the Ferris twins subtly.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So
I have not seen this next episode.
And the
let's not go very spoilery.
It was just a mention.
I enjoyed my weekend.
The pilot.
Let me put it out.
The pilot having the ding-a-ling-a-ling in it was the
ringtone.
Yeah,
the ringtone.
That made me so
happy. All right, we need to speak to our Mary Marvelites and then get out of here. So, Markia, take us on a tour of the Mary Marvelites.
Shout outs to Stephanie M. Jandro at Steph Amethyst by her book. It's called Amethyst. Entree Human at Entree Humane. Blonde Widow at Caps TCVE. Tao Den at Tao Den 19. Wes_Sager at Wes Sager. Angry Wet Cat at Joshua Never
so
Josh.
So good, man.
Michael Shane Harris at Kush Skywalker 7. Michael White at Fett K. Kane 32, Glorious Greg at XG Hilly 929, and Jacques Like Jacques at Darren Jacques.
Darren.
From Spider Geronimo, I used to work at a Wimpy's Diner in Southampton, UK. There's still a few left around the UK, but they couldn't keep up with fast food wars of the 90s.
Yes!
Yeah.
I didn't even know. That's great.
Last episode, I brought up that, I'd lived in London for like 3.5 years, and they had a Wimpy's Diner. I forget how Wimpy's came up,
there was this whole 5-minute segment you guys were doing, and I forgot how it came up too. Five comments in the section, last week's episode about Wimpy's, so it was it was hilarious. It was a good segment you guys got.
Thank you.
But the fast food wars, we all know Taco Bell wins this. So, Sean Campbell, keep up the great work, Marvel Movie News team. Thank you, Sean. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Sean.
From Cedric House at Cedric House 1994. Y'all got to get the Runaways cast on show before the show comes out.
Oh, man, I would love that. Oh my God, that would be great.
If you guys are watching, you're welcome to join us.
Yeah. Come on our show. We'll talk to you. We are excited.
You don't actually have to talk about Runaways if you're not allowed to yet. Yeah. We will just talk about Marvel in general.
We'll just talk at you. You can just sit there.
Cool to have you in the show.
Sit next to me.
Don't do that. Sit next to me.
Yeah, and bring old Lace with you. So questions, Wes _ Sager, have you folks read Marvel Legacy number 1, and what do you think?
Dude.
Also been some cool rumors and speculation about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Any insight?
Impressed. Marvel Legacy number 1.
Marvel Legacy was great.
I haven't been as on board for all these. We were talking right before the show. Yeah. There's been so many events at Marvel that I keep forgetting which ones are events, and I'm just out. I'm just bored.
Yeah.
But Marvel Legacy number 1 brought back a really cool character in a even cooler way.
Yeah.
And the art is staggeringly gorgeous. And the implications from the writing are already, like, you can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I was excited for it, and I was hearing good things about it from people who had already read it. But because I was telling you before the show, I'm like a year behind.
Yeah.
On a lot of the newer stuff, and I do my best to catch up when I have time. But I was like, oh, I've got to read this. And the thing is like you were saying, it's event fatigue. Like
it's
I never
so
thought
much.
Event fatigue would happen to me. And then Marvel was like, well, how about 70 events? And I'm like, I can't keep up with all of them.
And I read 60 books a month. I'm reading every title.
Yeah.
So by the time I get around, I'm only 2 weeks behind. So I'm 2 weeks behind on every book. But it's exhausting to be like, oh, I've got another Venomverse. Oh, I've got to read this one. Because I read even the one-offs. The one-offs for Legacy are also great.
Yeah.
Like the Wolverine one-off.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many that are
I've read a few of those, and those are all good too.
Solid.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to read comics right now. Legacy, you know that, Jurassic Park when there's the
ripple?
That's what this feels like. It feels like that.
Yeah, totally agree.
The feel. Well,
feel something big coming.
Yeah.
And you can see it.
But
it's
in a positive
right
way,
there.
There's going to be an impact.
Yeah. And it feels, similar to what, DC did with Rebirth. It feels like, Marvel is trying to make just marginally reset some of the stuff that they've done with events in the
last
couple
years. They played
around,
they tried some stuff, some worked, some didn't.
Some worked, some didn't. And I'm happy to see, you know, see that, you know, like, I'm like, please reset it, and please don't do events for 2 years. Please.
Give us some time.
Just, like, give us some time.
Let events count.
Like, there was a time before 1985 where there weren't really events, and I was
Secret War mattered. Remember Secret Wars? When
Secret Wars
was like,
Secret Wars mattered, and you were just like, it blew your mind?
Hashtag
yeah.
Secret Wars mattered.
Okay.
It mattered then. It doesn't now, but, like, remember we had, like, 3 Secret Wars in the last 10 years. Like, ever since that first one.
Yeah. Marvel slowed down. And there was another question there?
Yeah, there have been some cool rumors and speculation about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Any insight?
I mean, we don't have any insight from set. Like, I mean, we're in the dark as much as anybody. But I would like to see... I've read something where they're going to bring... The Kree are definitely going to be involved in some capacity, which I think has to happen.
Yes. I think at this point.
You know,
they've
season
built
one,
it pretty nicely.
Yeah, season one dealt with the Kree in some capacity. And Tahiti, all that stuff. So I hope that they play around with that. I really think we're going to see Agent Brandon Sword.
Yeah, I think so too.
I like that.
I really think we're going to see, what is Sentient World Observation, Research, and Defense, I think.
Yeah, the probably aggressive. Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Side of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is aptly named.
And we got one more there.
Yes.
Yeah.
From, Ashley.
Hey, Ashley Houchins.
Any chance Loki's dad, Lofe, reappears in Infinity War?
Probably not. My guess is no. I mean, it's not necessary. It's more likely that he'll reappear in Thor Ragnarok than it is in Infinity War.
And if he does, cannon fodder.
Cannon fodder.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Marquia just wants to see everyone die.
I'm preparing everybody because that's what's going on.
Marquia just wants to see cannons.
Cannons.
She wants to see pirates.
Stardrew in the live chat.
I like pirates.
Happy birthday next week, Stardrew.
Hey, happy birthday.
I want to thank Mike Merchant who sent me the Dr. Daniel Craig Sinister thing while I was away. That was a great break, and I'm really excited to see how that turns into. And the Marine's name was Taylor Winston.
Nice.
I wanted to get his name because that's such an incredible story. That's incredible. So look at stuff like that. Like, find the positive.
Yeah, that's great.
I like that. Find the positive.
Yeah, positive.
The world's exhausting, so find something to be happy about.
Unless you're Thanos on Iron Man's
Unless you're Iron Manos.
Iron Manos, that's right.
Iron Manos, Hand of Fate. So I forgot who... Someone tweeted at me and asked for an air horn for their birthday. I forgot to take that note down. And I apologize. I did see you. I will try to find that tweet again, but in the meantime, happy birthday.
No, it's for you.
And no, that's for you. I apologize that I forgot to write that down. I've started a new job that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about just yet, but my time is a little bit more limited. Yeah, I'm Batman. Marvel, you know, Marvel, Batman. All right, Ollie, where can we find you? Where else are you going to show up?
Guys, find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And also, later today at 4, I'm with Aunt Manthony on the Popcorn Talk Network doing our show, Horror Movie News, with Carrie D. Lane as well. So tune into that today on Tuesday. So, yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Ollie Dreamer, your dreamboat. Coy.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at COYJANDREAU. I love doing this. I'm doing other Instagrammy things. I've got a couple things that I also can't talk about, but when I can, I'm so excited about the internet. So yeah, thanks for Twitter's been crazy lately, and I've been trying to interact more. So thank you guys for all of your interaction.
Same. Markia?
Yes, obviously you can find me here. And then also on AfterBuzz TV, WWE Raw After Show. That's Mondays at 9 p.m. And I also have a couple of things that I cannot talk about.
Ooh, look at us.
I talked with you about it last week for that thing, and that looks like that might be happening. So I was like, great. Whoa. But it's not anything that will conflict with this, so that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so follow us on Twitter. Oh, Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty.
Nice. God, you do it so fast. It's almost like it's your name and you're used to it or something.
She's been spelling it for so many more years.
So many more years than you.
Your secret projects are really, you're a part of the pride, aren't you?
Yeah.
I know.
Now we have to kill.
We will bring forth the Gabor.
Now we have to kill Ollie.
Oh, God.
Great.
No.
we'll do it on camera. It'll be hilarious.
It's okay. It just has to be an innocent soul that's unwilling. That's all.
All three of us have super things we can't talk about. We all show up the first day and they're all there. And we're like, what is this?
Hey, what up?
My name is our boss. Now, guys.
My name is Matt Key. You can follow me on Twitter at the Matt Key, TheMattKey. I never really spell it. I just assume people know how
assumptions making out of you and umption.
Get out. That's two get out. That's an actual get out now. You can see me on the Wednesday Club tomorrow night on Geek and Sundry's Twitch at 7. We're talking about monsters in honor of Halloween in October. We're talking about monsters in comics, Werewolf by Night, Dracula, all of Jack Kirby's 1950s stuff. That'll be fun. And then, we'll see you next week.
Right.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.